So good to see all of you. Good morning. Got a full crowd this morning, full house, 241 here this morning. So glad to see all of you. Want to welcome those of you who are visiting with us. We're just glad that you've come our way and hope that you have received a warm welcome. And I want to encourage you to stay around after our service concludes this morning so we can get to know you. And we want to invite you to come back tonight when we meet again at 6 p.m. Just thank you. Thank you so much for being here. Today is the beginning of April. Actually, it's the fourth day of April, I guess. Isn't it kind of neat? 04-04-04 today, if you do the date like that. But this is the first Sunday of the month, and we've been kind of planning a series of lessons for the last 6 weeks that would begin today. The series of lessons is talking about building a spiritual foundation for life. This is a series of lessons that I've had a lot of help with in preparing for, designed for the teenagers of the congregation and young people. And they've done just a great job in giving me suggestions on topics, on things that they would like to hear. And so for the entire month of April, we're going to be looking at lessons that are designed to help teenagers meet daily challenges for life. And I think those of you who are long past the teenage years don't go, oh, a whole month of this? No, I tell you, there'll be some good things for all of us as we spend time looking into the pages of God's Word. But I want to commend the young people of this place who have done such a great job in getting the word out about these lessons. Many of you have noticed the flyers that are in the back of the auditorium or back in the foyer as you go out the building. Be sure and pick those up and encourage people to come and be here with us this month as we spend time on these very important topics. This morning we're going to be talking about that now is the time. Now is the time for you to become the kind of person that God would have you to be. Now's the time. Don't put it off. Get busy now serving God in the way that He would have you to, so you can have the kind of spiritual foundation that God would have you to have. I want to start off this morning by introducing you to a young lady who is known by the name of Hadassah. Hadassah was a Jewish orphan who was brought up by her cousin in a foreign land, 1,000 miles from home. Hadassah is a true rags-to-riches story. Here is a young girl who we will find as we look through the pages of God's Word goes from an obscure, unknown existence to being queen of the most powerful nation on the face of the earth at that time. Imagine, if you will, going from plain and ordinary to very beautiful and very important. Imagine going from weak to strong. Imagine from going from a place of little importance to one of where your words can influence the king to have him do the things that you would wish. Hadassah's story is one that we're all familiar with. And I think as we look to the pages of God's Word, we'll see in her a godly woman filled with courage and wisdom and strength. Hadassah is someone who blocked an evil plot against her people, overthrew a vile killer, and created joy in thousands of Jewish homes. This is a young woman who is probably in her mid to late teens. And we know her more importantly by her Persian name, Esther. Esther is who we're talking about when we say Hadassah, Hadassah being her Jewish name. Esther, Hadassah, is a profile in godly character and heroism. Sometime on your own, you might read through the 10 chapters of Esther and find a young woman who was willing to seek advice on how to do the right thing. You'll find a young woman who possessed strong convictions and was willing to act upon them. And you'll find a young woman who was willing to risk her own personal security for the purpose of God. Here is a young lady who allowed herself to be used for the purposes of God and the accomplishment of His ultimate desires. If you look in your Bibles to Esther, the 4th chapter, down in verse 14, we have the statement of Mordecai, who is her cousin, and he says at the end of that verse, "Who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this?" I think there's some great lessons to think about as we look at this story. Some things that we all need to realize, be it whether we are just and approaching the end of our lives or whether we are just in the blossoming of youth. And that is this: God chooses to work through those who allow Him to do so. I encourage everyone here in this place to release God to act in your life. We should be praying as if all depended upon God, but acting as if all depended upon us. I believe as you look at the life of Esther, you will see just that. Someone who had a strong trust in God, but knew it was up to her to follow through on her convictions and stand up for that which was right. You see, we today must grow into the kind of Christians that commit ourselves to do what God wants us to do, no matter the consequences, no matter what may happen to us. What propelled Esther to be strong and courageous? You know, I got to thinking about that this week. Speculate with me for a moment, if you will. I wonder what kind of teaching was going on inside of Mordecai's household. I just wonder how strong he was as far as serving God and how important godly principles were in his household. I think you can see that godly serving God was of utmost importance in Mordecai's household by the way that Esther would lead her life. Look at her life and see how strong her godly principles were. I believe we can see very clearly that her life was built on a strong spiritual foundation. And as she is coming of age, we see the product or the fruit of a godly home. God uses her good character and circumstances to accomplish His purposes. I have a question for all of us here today. How strong is the spiritual foundation that you are building on? A few moments ago in our scripture reading, we read from Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 27. How strong is it? Are you building your foundation upon the rock that is Jesus Christ? Jesus has said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." How strong is the foundation that you're building upon? Are you building your life around Jesus Christ? Is your faith one that might be called stable in its very nature? Or are you unstable and weak and being tossed around by every wind that comes around? I read of a passage over in Colossians. This should be a desire of every Christian, both young and old, and that is to become well-rooted in Jesus Christ. It is in Colossians chapter 2, down at the end of verse 5, where Paul talks about the stability of the Colossians' faith in Christ. Is your faith stable? Is it something that is rock solid when times of temptation and trial will come along?
Paul continues by saying, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed. Note there, that should be our desire. That's our goal, to become stable in our faith, well-rooted and grounded. I want all of us to realize the great potential that we all have. Each one of us is filled with tremendous potential. We can do great and wonderful things for the Savior. And I think of our young people. I tell you guys have got such a head start. You guys are just incredible with the good things that you're doing. You are so far ahead of many of your peers because many of you have started already realizing the importance of building on a foundation for life. You've got so much potential. You are the next generation of Christians coming up to be leaders in the church. And I know you can be successful. I know you can do well. And it all starts now. Again, now is the time. Now is the time for each one of us to determine that we're going to do our best to serve God. I tell you, when we think of our young people here in this room today, we should be proud of the good decisions that they are already making in a world that could care less about God. Many of them are making right decisions. Many of them are standing up for godly principles, and we need to be telling them about the good job they're doing. Amen? Why is it so often that we only see the negative? Why is it so often that we only see the things where there are shortcomings? Well, you should have been doing it this way or that. Why weren't you thinking about this or that or whatever it may be? And I tell you what, we, if we're not careful, by the way that we conduct ourselves as adults, can be a source of discouragement for the younger generations if we're not careful. Let's praise our teenagers and our young people for the good that they are doing. And let's help them and help ourselves build upon a spiritual foundation. I think as we go throughout this morning's lesson, I believe you're going to see all of the qualities that were in Esther needing to be in our lives so that we can live good and productive lives in Jesus Christ. I want to talk for just a few moments about how character gives splendor to youth. Character is something that is of utmost importance if we wish to build a strong foundation for life. Character is something that defines who we are. Solomon, in his writing in Proverbs 23:7, says, "For as a man thinks, so is he." Jesus, over in Matthew the 12th chapter, verses 34 and 35, spent some time talking about the importance of character. He talks about making sure that our hearts are clean and pure in the sight of God. He says at the end of verse 34, "For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." And then it is in verse 35 where he says, "The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil." How is your heart? How is your character? Is character something that is important to you? I believe there is no more important time than in the teenage years to develop one's integrity and character. And if you guys have your Bibles, let's turn over to Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, for just a few moments. We're going to be looking at the first 12 verses. That's the entire context. I want us to highlight some of the verses here in Proverbs chapter 3. Because each one of us has need of doing this. Note here, if you will, the importance of character and the importance of trust in God. Verse 5, Proverbs 3, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." Look at verse 6. Character starts with acknowledging God. "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." Look at verse 7. Humility is something that is an absolute necessity. In verse 7 we read, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." Look at verse 9. "Honor the Lord from all your wealth, and from the first of all your produce." Look at verse 12. "Whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights." All of these things
We see the importance of character. We see the importance of trusting in God and acknowledging Him. And respecting God involves humility. All of those things are so important. And we're talking about the importance of character, as we see here from Solomon's writing in Proverbs chapter 3, good character begins with recognition and respect for God. It begins with submission to His will. You know, if you flip through the 10 chapters of Esther, you will not find a single reference to God in the book. Even though there is no mention of God in the book of Esther, I believe each one of us can understand that Esther is someone who relied heavily on God. If you look at Esther, the 4th chapter, verse 16, as she realizes the need of her mission to go and stand before the king and plead on behalf of the Jewish people that they would not be exterminated, what does she do? She calls for a fast. Did you know in Old Testament times that when people called for a fast, oftentimes prayer was associated with that? Just about every time a fast was called, there would be prayer going on. And I believe beyond the shadow of a doubt that Esther went to God and prayed that His will be done. No doubt she probably prayed for her own protection as well. But she is searching for deliverance in this way. She knew what she had to do. Her character started with a recognition of God. And don't think for a moment that Esther did not recognize the need for God's deliverance. Each one of us, as we start building the foundation of our own lives, we too must build it with a firm respect for God. Character starts with that. In fact, we need to understand that we must take God with absolute seriousness. How many of us do just that? Are we serious about our religion? Are we serious about serving God? You see, God must become the most serious concern of our lives. I want to remind us all for just a few moments that God is real. Turn in your Old Testaments, please, back to Exodus, the 19th chapter. We're going to be looking at verses 16 through 19. Again, Exodus, the 19th chapter, verses 16 through 19. It is in this context where we find the children of Israel gathered around Mount Sinai. And they are in the process of receiving the law of God. Now, we don't have very many mountains here in central Indiana, as you're probably all aware of. But if you've ever been to a place where there are mountains, you know that mountains can be huge. And the presence of God has descended upon Mount Sinai. And as you read through these verses, observe what's going on. Starting in verse 16, there was thunder and lightning flashes and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. I want you to picture yourself in the place of these people who were there. The presence of God was on that mountain, and it was a terrifying thing to these people. God was very real to them. And as you continue reading, look at verse 18. Sinai was all in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. I tell you what, the children of Israel at this point had a very real understanding that God was real. He was there. And don't think for a moment that they didn't take Him with absolute seriousness. Now,
Go to the New Testament for just a few moments. Over to the book of Hebrews.
We're going to spend some time in chapter 12.
Because it's very interesting here that if you go back and look in some of the footnotes of your Bible, the writing of the Hebrew writer here in chapter 12, down in verses 18 through 29, has references back to the passage in Exodus that we just read. Isn't that interesting?
And if you read through those verses here, we see the importance of taking God with absolute seriousness.
Look at verse 19, 18. For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched in a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom and whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them. For they could not bear the command, if even a beast touched the mountain, it will be stoned. Again, that's all referencing back to the Exodus account that we just read. And Moses here in verse 21, Hebrews 12 says, so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. Even Moses was scared to approach God. Now here, beginning in verse 22, is the application for Christians today. Read with me if you will. You have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteousness made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than blood of Abel. Look here at verse 25. We're talking about respect for God. Character begins here with respect for God. Look at this. See to it that you do not refuse Him who is speaking. And as you continue reading through here, look at the application that the Hebrew writer talks about here. For if those did not escape when they refused Him, He warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we turn away from Him who warns from heaven. Look at verses 28 and 29. We need to know that God is real. Since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Look at verse 29. Our God is a consuming fire.
It all starts with respect for God. God must become the most serious concern of our lives. God must not only be recognized, but He must be respected.
But how often do we neglect opportunities to learn from God's Word?
How often do we neglect opportunities to worship Him? How often do we neglect to spend time with God's people, preferring those of the world? If we're not careful, we can lose respect for God and lead our lives away from Him. So it all starts with respecting God. And as we're talking about character for a few moments, we need to talk about integrity. We need to build our lives around integrity. Integrity is a must for the Christian. In fact, you could say that integrity and character go hand in hand. What do we mean when we use the word integrity? It is nothing more than an adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and humility.
I believe as you look back at the life of Esther, or Hadassah, back in Esther chapter 2 and verse 15, it is told of her that she found favor in the eyes of all who saw her. You know what's interesting? You can look at Esther, you can look at David, you can look at Joseph, you can look at all kinds of Bible heroes who served God to the best of their ability, and they found favor not only with God, but with those around them as well. Think of Joseph especially, who was blessed because of his upright and humble character. And when you read Esther chapter 2 and verse 15, where the Scripture says that she found favor in the sight of all who beheld her, I think it's not just talking about physical beauty, but rather an inner beauty built upon godliness and honesty and integrity.
that needs to be a characteristic of our own lives. Integrity is a must for the child of God. Read with me, if you will, from Psalm 15 for just a few moments. Psalm 15. Note with me very carefully what the writer has to say, because he spells it out exactly. He says in verse 2 of Psalm 15, "He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart, he who does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend." Look at verse 4, at the end of verse 4. "But who honors those who fear the Lord. He who does these things will never be shaken." Well, I've just read all those things. What's the point? Well, those who do those things will be accepted by the Lord. Look at verse 1. "O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill?" Well, it is the one who does all the things that are written in Psalm 15. Integrity is a must for the Christian. And you, right now, can begin building a positive influence for Jesus Christ. And it starts by building on your character, on the little things. You see, Jesus demands that we build our lives on the foundation of respect, dignity, and trust. And if our spiritual foundation is weak, then we will never live up to the potential that we all have. And I tell you, each one of us in here has tremendous God-given potential. There is no limit to the good things that we can do. And it all starts with these kinds of things, building our lives around respect and dignity and trust. This is something that cannot be hidden. And we're talking about building character. We're talking about how character is built with the little things. It's the little things. Someone says, just how important are the little things? They're all important. You see, biblical principles are not flexible. Biblical principles are not flexible. Realize now in your life that a lie is a lie is a lie. Realize now in your life that you must be govern your life by the things that you say. Back up the things that you say. Be true to your character. We're told in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9 to put off lying. We're told in Revelation, the 21st chapter and verse 8, that all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. Philip Brooks has said, "Character is made in the small moments of our lives." And indeed it is. We must resolve now to instill these principles in our lives and make sure that no matter how tough it gets, that we will not compromise on our principles, that we will stand up and be God's kind of person. Because if you break one of these principles, it puts a crack in your foundation and makes you vulnerable to further attacks by Satan and the devil. John Maxwell, in his writing, has said, "When times get tough, it becomes harder to act with integrity, not easier. Character isn't created in crisis. It only comes to light. Everything you have done in the past and the things you have neglected to do come to a head when under pressure." So this is going to be something that requires constant attention. Don't do anything that you'd be ashamed of. I know that's easy, and right now we'd say, "No, I'm never going to do anything I'd be ashamed of." But you know, when pressure mounts, we might be led down a road that later we would be filled with regret. Remain true to your principles. Are there things right now in your life that you'd be ashamed of to tell someone else? I want us to remember that God is always watching.
There's not a soul in this room today that doesn't need to remember that. God is always watching. He knows what's going on within our lives. In 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, down in verse 5, look at the last half of this verse with me, please. This passage teaches us that the Lord, when the Lord comes, He is going to bring to light both the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. And then each man's praise will come to him from God. God is watching. He is aware. There is an all-seeing eye watching you. That's reason in and of itself to be true to the principles that God would have us to live by. That's reason in and of itself to build a godly kind of character. And let me stress this, building character is your responsibility. Someone has said that it is an inside job. We must not look to the outside to explain deficiencies in character. And there's something real important that I need to say for just a few moments. Integrity, character, it is not determined by your circumstances. It is not. And that line of thinking, this line of thinking goes head on against the predominant thinking of the world. The popular thinking is that people of poor character are that way because they grew up in some kind of unpleasing environment. But I want us to understand that each one of us, whether we're 12 years old, 30 years old, or 65 or even 80, each one of us are responsible for the choices that we make in this life. Each one of us. Building your character is your own responsibility. And if you find yourself in some adverse circumstances, rise up out of those circumstances. It can be done. And it can be done if you will determine to do it and then seek help of others to help you do it. Each one of us is responsible for the choices we make in this life. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5 is a passage that comes to mind. Also Romans, the 14th chapter and verse 12. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you must take responsibility for your life. And it all starts with worrying less about what others think and giving attention to your inner self. If you're striving to be a child of God and striving to serve Him to the best of your ability, seek to please God above men. If you seek to please God, you will never go wrong. Even if everyone around you turns their back upon you, you will never go wrong. Paul, writing in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, talks about, am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were striving to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Paul makes the distinction very clear. Who are we serving? Who are we striving to please? All of this begins with a change of heart. It is in Colossians, the third chapter, down in verse 10, where Paul talks about the need of putting on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. We're striving to become like Jesus. And finally, no spiritual foundation is complete without the conviction that leads to courage. I want us to go back in our Old Testaments for just a few moments
back to Esther, the fourth chapter. Mordecai, the whole reason that Esther is in a position to save her people, or in the, she's in a position where she has to save her people from extermination, is because Mordecai, her cousin, refused to bow down before Haman, who was a prominent political figure of the day. Mordecai would not acknowledge Haman as a god. And it is because of this that Haman determined to destroy all the Jewish people. It is in Esther, the fourth chapter, and verse 1, where Mordecai learns of this plot against his people. Read with me, if you will, now, Esther 4:1. When Mordecai learned all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and wailed loudly and bitterly. We're told that as you continue through the chapter that he went as far as the king's gate, and he determined that he was going to go to Esther and plead with her to go before the king. In fact, we read of that down in verse 8 of this chapter, where we read, he also gave him a copy of the text of the edict which had been issued in Susa for their destruction, that he might show Esther and inform her and order her to go unto the king to implore his favor and to plead with him for the people. So beginning in verse 11, all the way through verse 16, we find Esther rising up and taking action. And I want, as we look at these verses in depth, to see the courage that rises forth from within her. First of all, look at verse 11. Esther is speaking, and she says, "All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that for any man or woman who comes to the king, to the inner court, who is not summoned, he has but one law, that he be put to death, unless the king holds out to him the golden scepter, so that he may live. And I have not been summoned to come to the king for these 30 days." What is Esther doing in this case? She knows what she has to do. And I think it is in this case where Esther is calculating the cost. She knew that if she went in before the king, that it might even require her own life. And as you look at verse 16, she counted the lives of the Jewish people to be more important than her own. And as you look at verse 16, she determines that even though the cost may be near and dear to her, she is going to follow through. She moves forward with her plan. Look at verse 16. "Go assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maidens will also fast in the same way. And thus I will go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." She made up her mind. I don't think you'll see a greater example of courage than what this young, middle teenaged young lady does. There's a lesson for us. We too must make up our minds. There are going to be situations that approach us where we're going to have to come in with firm resolve to withstand the wiles of the devil. And it is in those times that we must decide on the matter fully. We must determine to know what is right and wrong in God's Word, and then do what is right, no matter the cost. We too must exhibit courage to stand up for godly principles. It may mean that we're rejected by those who we think are our friends. It may mean, adults, that we have to give up a certain job or an occupation or whatever it may be. We've got to determine what's right. We've got to stand in our principles. We've got to be courageous. How strong is our faith? How strong is our trust in God?
This is so important, not only for the teenagers here in this audience, but for each one of us. We need to be aware that resolve can wane when temptation strikes. Let each one of us stand up for our principles as a Christian. And I tell you what, guys, don't stand behind. If there's a principle, a godly principle, that's being called into question, and you have to make the determination of whether to violate the godly principle or to stand firm and hold up God's truth on the matter, don't hide behind the, "Well, my parents won't let me." Don't do that. You stand up for what is right. You hold up the pattern. You be true to your convictions. You move courageously. Each one of us must do just that. Obligate yourself to obey God's word at all times. Hold up that which is right. And so we see Hadassah, Esther, someone who risked her life appearing before the king, becoming a heroine. And we see Mordecai, who was effectively condemned to death, someone who would rise up after this to become the prime minister of the nation. You see, God rewards those who serve Him diligently. Sometime on your own time, read Esther 10, 1 through 3. And there's a message for us in this. God does not forget godly service and courage in His name. Amen? Now is the time to become what God wants you to be. It is never too early to start working toward becoming God's kind of Christian. You today can start by building upon the foundation that is in Jesus Christ. You remember our scripture reading? Matthew 7, 24 through 27. As we conclude our time together this morning, I want to ask you again, what rock are you building your foundation on? Jesus says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock." Is your soul on the rock that is Jesus Christ? Or are you setting yourself up for the greatest fall that could ever be? Jesus, in verses 26 and 27, talks about those who build their house upon the sand. And the winds come and the storms rage and the house falls. And at the end of verse 27, "And great was its fall." Don't you be that person. You be the person that responds today by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. You come forward this morning believing that Jesus is the Christ. You come forward this morning repenting of your sins, confessing Him as the Son of God, and you be baptized today for the remission of your sins. You're already a Christian and you've not been building upon the rock. In fact, you're on the sand. Now's the time to get your life right. There's no day like today to become what God wants you to be. If you have need of doing that, why don't you come forward as we stand? Well,